Welcome to the Real Estate Success and Support Podcast, your resource for real estate strategies, tips, and best practices to take your business to the next level. There's no reason you can't double your sales. So let's get to it with your host, Kristen Brindley.
Hello, everyone. This is Kristen Brindley with Nova Real Producers, and I'm here with the wonderful Alan Johnson. Thank you so much for being with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, he is our cover for our June edition, our Father's Day edition, and beautiful family photos right here. He lights up when he talks about his family, so I'm excited to do that piece with him. And I mean, stats all line up for a cover story, obviously, like $85 million last year, on track for $100 million this year. And, you know, he's definitely all about growth and leadership. And so honored to have you on the cover, AJ. And, you know, I'd love to hear your story. So, well, let's start with, though, these numbers. You gave me this tip and hint of numbers, and I was like, what does this mean? So what does 29 and 1 mean?
Yeah. So thank you for, first of all, for having me. You know, I just think that, you know, I'm appreciative of the opportunity and your platform and how you reach out to agents in the community and how you keep us aligned and keep us growing. Oftentimes we agents don't celebrate agents, right? Because we're in such competition and, you know, we feel like that we got it. But you have a very cool way of bringing us together and allowing us to understand that we're more than our numbers. That no matter whether you sell one or whether you sell 100 homes, you're still important, right? So I'm appreciative of that. So 20 is the first number. So that's how many years I've been in real estate. And I think we celebrate the quick ones. We celebrate the quick wins. But, you know, I want to be, inspiration to the person that is a little bit more natural when it comes to growth. And I took the long route.
I think you've done an amazing job. So 20 years in the industry. And so tell us, what does 9 mean?
9 is how many members we have on our team. People look at the numbers, but it's really not about just me, right? We've got wonderful people who have equally contributed to the success of what we do. And for me to stand on this platform and not to give kudos to Dawn and to Shay and to my wife and to Charles and to Saheed and to Alex and to Johnetta and to Josh would be a disservice to everything that they are and everything that they mean to me and my growth and our organization. So 9 is a very important number to us.
I love that. I love how you exude leadership too and growth, and it's always fun talking to you. So what does 1 mean?
1. I'm gonna do two takes on the number 1. Number 1 is I wrote one book, right? So 50 things your real estate agent should tell you but probably won't. What I found is that it starts with 1, right? It starts with 1. You got a dream, you got a goal out there, you got to start with 1 chapter, right? And that's how that book started. And then the other number 1 is I noticed we are the first African-American family that we've had on your on Northern Virginia Producers.
It's true. DC, I've had a couple, but Nova, I have not. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that means something to me. That means that we're trailblazers. That means that we're opening doors for other people that look like me to see themselves in a position of you know, accomplishment and things like that. So, you know, my wife pointed that out to me. We stand on the shoulders of people who broke down many doors for me to vote, broke down many doors for me to be able to go to college, broke down many doors for me to be able to run a successful business. So if I am the first of something where someone can see themselves, then I feel like I'm living in that lineage.
I absolutely love what you just said. And we are such a melting pot here in the greater DC area. Like, I've had a bunch of different nationalities in both, but this, I feel this one too. And, thank you for pointing it out. Yeah. So let's see, why real estate? Tell us the story. Like, how did you end up in real estate?
Oh man. Graduated from George Mason University. First job out of George Mason was a used car salesman. And my mom was so mad. You spent 5 years to get a 4-year degree. Your first job was to get was to go sell used cars. And my dad, in his infinite wisdom, was like, oh, this is going to be great for Alan. 2 years at the car dealership did really, really well. Just loved being around people, loved the energy, loved the sales aspect of what I was doing. I was around a lot of really good guys that, you know, every day we would bring in a Washington Post and we would pass it around and read it. We were talking about stocks. We were doing just a lot of different things. And real estate was one of those things that we had conversations about. When it was time for me to buy a house, and my dad gave me my graduation present. So he held my graduation present until I was ready to buy a house. And that graduation present was $10,000 towards buying my first house. That weekend I went and got pre-approved, and went out to go look for a house, and, you know, went into every open house and, you know, no one would talk to me. I was 24, 25 years old. I had cornrows. You know, I'm sure I didn't look like the prototypical buyer. Not that that should have an effect on the way that anyone was treated, but there I was. So went in and out a couple open houses. The next week, my dad comes to me. He's like, oh, you know, I got it. You know, my dad's, he's a real estate guy. I got it. So comes up, they all talk to him, but they don't talk to me. Right. And on the last home I walk into, it was an older lady, and she says, hey, Alan, I'll help you buy a house. I said, okay, great. My next day off is Tuesday. So I went to her office early on a Tuesday, and she stood me up. So I thought that was a sign.
Not about that part. Oh my God.
I thought that was a sign, right? So I was like, oh, dad, that means I shouldn't buy a house. I got a sweet condo in Kingstown. Me and my roommate are paying like something cheap back then, because things were cheaper back then. I shouldn't buy a house. I go back to the car dealership that next Wednesday, and the first person who comes in to buy a car for me is a young kid, Lydio, and Lydio was a real estate agent. And I believe in signs. I believe that God moves in mysterious ways. So I knew that, you know, it couldn't have been fate. That was a divine appointment. And I went and bought a house from Lydio, and simultaneously I went to Nova. They were given real estate classes, took my real estate license, and really decided that no one looked like me who was capable of buying a house was ever going to go through that again. They were going to have an agent that they could work with. So I started selling houses to friends. I started selling houses to people that, you know, I went to college with, people that I met from the car dealership, and, you know, now 20 years later, man, it's all good.
Good for you. Good for you. I had forgotten some of that story, and it's quite a reminder, and I'm really glad you're in real estate. So tell me about this journey, because 20 years, and you have obviously grown and grown and grown, like, especially this last, like, 5-10 years. So can you tell us, like, what that's been like?
Yeah, man, it's been great. It's been great. I think people underestimate the work behind growth. And a lot of that growth happened like years before. You know, I was reading books, I was going to leadership seminars, you know, I was sitting at the feet of people that were really smart, preparing for this moment. And I didn't know I was preparing for this moment, but I knew I was preparing for something that was about more than me, right? And I think there's, you know, when people are starting to get into growth in any business, there's a difference between being a producer and being a leader, right?
100%.
There are a lot of people out there that are leaders, right? I mean, I'm sorry, a lot of people out there that are producers, but you gotta train yourself to be a leader, right? You gotta go through some things to be a leader. So, you know, really over the past 5 years, it really hasn't been about Alan's production. It's really been about, like, how can you lead other people to be the better people that they need to be to produce what they want to produce, to sell the homes, to do the things that make them successful in real estate.
Love what you just said. It made me think of be, do, have, you know, it totally made me think about that. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about the journey of, you know, writing the book? I mean, that's a great accomplishment. A lot of people talk about wanting to write a book, but you did.
Yeah. So dyslexic kid, grew up not knowing that I was dyslexic, right? Just knew that I had a lot of difficulties reading, and I was embarrassed about reading. And you know, just didn't, you know, couldn't capture information as quickly as a lot of other people. And I think that's, you know, I think for a lot of people who are challenged, it's not the fact that you can't learn, it's the fact that you learn differently, right? And I find that people that learn a little bit slower often learn a little bit deeper, right? And they can apply things in a way that most people can't apply them. So, you know, during that time when I was struggling, I was gaining other skills, man. I was gaining the skill of understanding story. I was gaining the skill of being able to relate to certain people. I was gaining the skill of being able to retain and to be able to output information in a way that was super valuable. And when it came time for me to, you know, to go to the next level of what I thought was real estate, well, the book was one of those things that I was talking all the time. Like, I would get calls from agents about advice. I would get calls from clients about advice. I would get calls from other industry professionals about advice. And every question that they asked me, I wrote it down, right? I wrote it down. I would just write it down. I kept writing it down. And I would answer the question, but I would keep writing it down until I got to 50 things. And then I went back to those questions and I started to write out chapters just of me, like, how would I answer this question? You know, now I've got some time, I've got some space, I've got a lot of experience. You know, how can I take these questions and turn them into something that'll be valuable for people, not just once, but far down the line? So I've got agents that have started new in career who found it super valuable. Clients that are into investing or that want to just get smarter at buying and selling real estate that like it, other industry professionals, title companies and mortgage lenders that like it. And then most importantly, you know, I showed myself that, you know, I can overcome a challenge. And it's a story that I can show my daughters, like, hey, like, you know, yes, you are going to go through challenges. Absolutely. You're going to have things you're going to have to work through, but that doesn't mean that you can't write your own book, whatever that book is, right? That book could be a physical book. It could be, you know, a book of going to college, whatever your book is, like, you, they're chapters to your life. It doesn't have to end.
Love it. So tell us, I know you're large into growth and, you have like this growth mindset versus static mindset and, you know, leadership and reading. So like, do you have a couple of leadership tips that you could give to people that are listening? Like, you've definitely grown your team and, you know, we all learn from the hard knocks, right? So like, what tips could you give somebody that was looking to grow a team?
Yeah, well, I think one thing that comes to mind is you can't lead people who don't want to be led, right? So there are a lot of people out there that you may have people on your team or people in your organization or people in your world that you're trying to lead, and you may be bumping your head against some things, and it may not be you. It may be them, right? It may be that they're not ready to be led, or they're not ready to be led by you, right? So I think that's one thing that you got to be humble enough and have a perspective to understand that not everyone is ready to be led by you. Second, I would say that I have had the best success looking at how other leaders lead, right? I don't necessarily have to have a 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, I want to see it. Like, I need to feel it. So I go back to my old basketball coaches. I go back to my own old managers. I read a lot of autobiographies. And I just want to see, like, I want to see how people lead. And from there, you know, I feel like I can plug and play some things that they use that I can apply to what I do.
So I want to ask about like what autobiographies, like if there are a couple that have really resonated for you. And then I want to talk about your family, because that's a great segue and, you know, Father's Day issue. And you light up when you talk about your family.
So. Yeah, for sure. So autobiographies that have touched me recently, really, really like John Thompson's book, the coach from Georgetown, basketball coach from Georgetown. He just passed away. And I had the honor of being a coach at Kenner League, which is a basketball pro-am, a college and pro-am here in the city. So I was able to see him for the past, you know, 8 years as we did that summer league, and didn't know his story. So he passed away last year. So his book was really, really good. What else? Some other books. The Book of Joy. It's not an autobiography, but it's a book by the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu. That was a book that I really, really enjoyed. What else have I read recently that I really, really liked? Obama's book was great. You know, it was, it's a healthy read. It's thick, but you know, just hearing his journey and hearing, you know, about those 4 years and it's a lot of years before that really gave me a lot of perspective on just some things that I applied to what I do. And what I like to do, guys, is I like to do, I read the book and then I go back through the book and I take the top 10 things that I got out of the book and I write them down and I share them. And the reason why I do that is because I feel like if you share it, then you've learned it, right? And for me, it's just a way of me being able to not only help other people, but to help myself remember the important things.
That's fantastic. That's a whole nother level of learning when you teach it. So tell us about your family. So, I mean, gorgeous picture on the cover. I'm going to hold it up again because gorgeous. I love it. Great picture. And tell us about your family.
Yeah. So I work with my wife. No, let me get that right. I work for my wife. Crystal came and joined our real estate organization about 5 years ago. And I will tell you that we have experienced unbelievable growth when she came on. Like I said, I was a great producer, but I had no idea about management and really no idea. Like I was just getting into real leadership. Right. So, the stars aligned and I was sleeping next to the next great leader, on our team. And it was about timing. She came out of a contracting space, and it was just great timing. The contract ended. She had a lot of good offers out there where she could have went really anywhere and got paid a lot of money. But, you know, we slowed down a little bit as a family and realized that we had a really good opportunity with what I was doing, and where I was going. But, it was two things. Number one, I had to understand that maybe I wasn't the only leader that was going to lead us to where we needed to go and how we needed to grow. And as a man, right, that's something that I had to work through. I had to work through that. And it took us a little bit of time, took me a little bit of time to work through that. And then second, she was very graceful as she came into the business. She was really willing to do a lot of the dirty work. She didn't come in saying, duh, 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 I'm the leader and this is how. No, she like did the dirty work. She made the phone calls. She put the signs up. She got into the CRM. She got into all the things that leaders don't normally do, because she wanted to know how the work felt. She wanted to know the process. So it really took us some time. Like it really took us about a year or two for her to really feel like she had a good feel on everything. And then from there, we just, you know, it just went from growth. I mean, from the numbers from 18 to 36 to 40 to 40 something. And then we dropped. And then we went to 60 and then we went to 80. You know, it's just been a great growth, a great growth space for us. And it is a lot on having really good leaders, in our organization. My daughter, Sydney and Camilla, Camilla was the one that was driving this through my, she's our firecracker. she's super thoughtful, man. She'll come and lead me things like this. I love you, daddy. Like she's that child. She'll draw pictures of daddy. She's just very, very thoughtful. And you know, I love it because my office is here. They come down the stairs and I get a really big hug and an awesome kiss pretty much every day. And you know, for me, like, you know, real estate's, yeah, it's there, but honestly, like that's not nearly the most important thing for me in my life. How I show up as a father for them and how I show up as a husband for my wife and how and how I show up as a son for my parents is and a leader for the people who are in our organization are the most important things to me.
What does, on that note, like, what does success mean to you? Like, what is success?
Success for me is getting better every day, and not just real estate better. Can I get better as a husband, right? Can I, you know, the things that I want that for my family, can I execute on those things, right? Can I plan a family vacation, right? Can I do those things? Can I take that hour and take that bike ride around the corner with my kids? You know, can I make that phone call to my mom and dad and say, hey, I love you. Thank you. You know, thank you for allowing me to be here, or slowing down to kiss my wife on the cheek and give her a hug and slap her on the butt, whatever it is, you know. You know, those are the things that make me feel successful at the end of the day. And then my team, man, like, this was the first year where I wrote my other team members' goals on my vision board. And what I learned is it took so much pressure off of me. Like, it wasn't a number that I was chasing. It was a goal that we were all trying to chase. And when you start supporting other people towards their goal, it's funny how things work out that you end up getting to your goal.
Yeah, 100%. So you, what classes have really impacted you, like classes, or are there any quotes that, you know, really resonate? What things could you share with our community on those?
Classes, man, I think I'm in a class every day. So I'm big on the mornings. So Hal Elrod, Miracle Morning, right? It's a book that really gave a lot of structure to my mornings. My mornings are basically called Allen University, right? So I'm up generally about an hour and a half, 2 hours before everyone gets up in my house. You know, I'm drinking, you know, 100 ounces of water, you know, through that time, flushing my body, making sure that I'm, you know, I'm stepping into the day flushed out. I'm praying, reading the Bible. I'm journaling, writing prayers. So, you know, not only am I saying prayers when I get up, but I'm also writing prayers out. I do that because oftentimes there are a lot of prayers that are answered that we forget about. And me being able to go back in those books and see how prayers have been answered gives me a lot of hope and a lot of perspective on, you know, God moving in my life. I read 20 pages and I look at my vision board and I work out. So for me, that's a class every day for me, right? That's a class. And that's the class of Allen. And that's really my personal development time. That's the time where I feel like I can get smarter, time when I can get clarity and just kind of go from there.
Absolutely. My miracle mornings are so important to me. Thank you for sharing that with the community. Thank you. What is either the largest, like, what's the biggest failure do you feel you've had, and what did you learn from it? Like, what's the lesson?
Yeah. I would say first of all, I don't look at it as failure. I look at it as learning, as an opportunity to get better. Right. Because when you have a setback, there are two things that you can do. Like, you can get stuck in the setback, or you can learn from it. Right. And I think it's very, very, your words are very intentional. If you think it's a failure, then it's going to be a failure, right? And you're going to stay in that. But if you look at it as an opportunity to get better, then that's another thing. I think one of the things that I learned is in growing a team very early is when people left your team, because people are going to grow, they're going to grow out of your space. It just is what it is, right? I don't necessarily think that I handled it the best way that I could have. Number one, I was a lot younger. Number two, I was, you know, I've got a lot more wisdom, little grays there, little wisdom. But what I learned from that is that the value of the relationship is really easy, really, really easy when everything is going good and you're in the relationship. But the true value of the relationship is when you get out of the relationship, right? That's the true value. And you don't necessarily have to be best friends, but you should value and honor what that person is, right? And I've learned that the value of getting in a relationship is just as you got to handle getting out of a relationship just as carefully, because this world is small, right? Taking all that time to build up this social equity, you don't want an exit to ruin something that could be great somewhere down somewhere down the line.
Yeah, and you never know when that's gonna come right back around, right? So yeah. I thank you for sharing that wisdom. I feel like that is hard-won wisdom that we get as we add the grays and so on, and maybe don't know when we're younger.
Yeah. You want to blow up the relationship. We're in a cancel culture, right? Oh, we're done. I'm done. That's it. And yes, you need space. Absolutely. You don't need to be best friends. You don't need to talk every day, but you still, there's a still a way of honoring a relationship. If someone has poured that much into you and given that much to you, there's a way that you can honor it without you having to still be in a day by day, every minute building this thing. There's something that you can do to honor that.
I would agree. What do you want to be remembered for, Alan? Like, what would you like to be remembered for?
Man, what I want to be remembered for. So, I wrote down my life plan. It was a book and I forgot the book. I'll get it over to you. But I wrote it down and I really want to, in the life plan, it was weird because you had to literally write your obituary, right? And you had to write it from like, have you done that before?
I survived cancer 7 years ago. So I made the practice of, anyway, yes.
So you had to write it from different perspectives, God's perspective, from your wife, from your kids, from your parents, from the people that you work with, like it was all different perspectives. And the one thing that I remember from God's perspective is that you did it your way. You did it my way with your swag. So you did it my way with your swag. So, you know, when I got into the business and, you know, for the same reason we talked about me being us being the first African-American couple family on, you know, on Northern Virginia Real Producers. When I got into the business, there weren't a lot of people that looked like me. And it was almost like you had to fit within this box, right? You had to fit within this mold of how everyone else was doing their business. And as I started to mature and as I started to grow our team, I really wanted people to step into our organization to be highly professional, right? To be growth minded, to be all these things, but I wanted them to have the platform to do it with their swag, right? So in our organization, I want people to be able to do it with their swag. And obviously as a husband, you know, I want my wife to know that I loved her in every way. I want her to know that I loved her in every way and to feel that I loved her in every way. For my kids, I want them to, I want to be the first man that they fell in love with. That's big for me. For my parents, I want them to just be proud of me for all the work that they put in to me to say that, yes, this is the reason why we put all this work into this hard-headed man. Because of what he's doing and where he is now. And in my community, I want to be an example. I want to be the bridge between being highly productive and also being highly conscious of my responsibility in my community. So I know that was a lot, but remember for.
No, that's beautiful, actually. That was absolutely beautiful. I love the amount of thought, attention, and detail you put into that and that exercise that you did. I think it's fantastic. I think everyone should do it. Well, is there any advice that you'd give a real producer, like something you have done that you would highly recommend that they do?
I would say stop looking at realtors in your marketplace as competition. I would say that you are one relationship away from a breakthrough, and it's likely going to come from an agent that is in your marketplace. I've got really good relationships, deep relationships with agents that I've been on listing appointment competitions with, that I've been in buyer competitions with. And you know, there's a large pie, guys, right? But those relationships are things that can change your business. I remember having a conversation with James Nellis one time. I think he was on.
He nominated you for the cover, actually. Yeah.
I remember having a conversation with him. It was probably about 7-8 years ago, and James has been at this level for a long time, and we were just having conversations, and he asked, "Is there anything I can pray for you about?" And I told him what I would like. And he said, you know, let's go have lunch. So we had lunch and we ended up having a conversation that literally saved the life of someone that was close to me. saved the life of someone that was close to me. And had he looked at me like I was competition, right, that may have been a very different outcome. So, you know, to my agent friends out there, to the people that are in the industry, the longer that you look at the people around you as competition, I think you are short-circuiting your growth potential, right? So that's one thing that I would tell other agents out there.
Thank you, AJ. Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to say, AJ?
Yeah, so we are in a very aggressive market. Let's just put it that way. Aggressive real estate market, right?
I've heard it referred to as like a war zone several times.
It could be. I language is everything, right?
So, it is. I was like, ooh.
To my agent friends out there, know that you're not alone. If you're going through some challenges, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to say you're not okay. It is okay not to be okay. All of us have been in a situation where we haven't been okay. I would tell you to lean on the people that God's put on in your sphere. You know, if that's someone that, you know, works in your office, great. If that's another agent that you look up to, great. If that's me, that's fine too. But if you need someone, reach out and ask for help. We are a community, we're a family. At the end of the day, when the market goes from aggressive to non-aggressive, we still gonna be in the same gang. So I think that we need to handle each other with a little bit more care during these times and just being a little bit more aware that people are going through some things that we may not really truly understand.
Thanks, AJ. Thank you you heard it here at Nova Real Producers. And if you haven't checked out AJ's story, definitely do so. Thanks for being with us, AJ.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for listening to the Real Estate Success and Support Podcast. To get even more information to take your real estate business to the next level, visit kristenbrindley.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and tune in next week. And until then, please leave us a review on iTunes.